How's it going, people? Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to the Deadline Day Big Six special. I wish, as an Arsenal fan, there was some, I was about to say some more news, but there ain't any news. So, yeah, make of it what you will. I'm sure we'll talk about that. Saeed's smiling already. Hope everyone's well. There's a thousand people waiting already. And big up you guys, because everyone's watching right now. It's Deadline Day. So big up you guys for still supporting the thing. And as always, Steve, Saeed, Grizz, Tob, and Dami, who's filling in for Matisse. His channel is in the description below. So make sure you guys are supporting everyone on the show as usual. And yeah, I forgot to say, we just released our first video on the official Big Six channel. So make sure you guys, after this show, or if you get some time tomorrow, if you haven't already, go check that video out. Top 5 goalkeepers of the Premier League era. If you have checked it out, I hope you guys have enjoyed and left a comment and a like. A lot of support for that already. We're nearly on 10K on that channel. So big up everyone who's crossed over. Wow. And big up everyone who's just tuning in. It's all mad. One video up and nearly 10K. So big up you guys. And let's get into it. Grizz, I think it's only right to start with Liverpool having had the biggest transfer of the window. We'll see if it works out to be the best, but it's certainly the biggest, and it's certainly an eye-catching transfer at a good price. Grizz, take it away.
Very happy with it as well, bro. Very happy with it. I mean, we've got a track record of doing good business, but not enough of it. So every time we do business, it's usually good. And this is, for me, a stunning coup, man. This guy is... I've been watching him for a little while, I'm not going to lie. And he gives me Suarez vibes. A lot of Suarez vibes. He's tenacious. He's a battler. I went to see Porto Liverpool when they played us in the Champions League. And even though we handled them comfortably, this guy was a standout player on the pitch. He plays on the left wing. He's got the technical ability. He loves to cut inside. Very quick. And that's what we like. Our attack is full of pace. Jota, Mo, Mane, they're very quick players. And this guy will fit straight in. Got very, very high hopes for him. And again, it's that sweet spot for us in terms of price. We don't usually go unless it's Virgil van Dijk and Alisson. Obviously, that was with the Coutinho man. We don't normally go above 50 million, 40, 50 million. That's our sweet spot. And to get this guy for £37 million plus 12 for add-ons, which always, people always talk about add-ons, but that's a good thing because the add-ons always are if you win the league or win your Champions League, or do you know what I mean? So it's a win-win situation if you have to pay add-ons. So to get him for around the 40, 45 million pound mark is a fantastic deal. Is your mute?
It is on mute, my bad. Yeah. Tobes, a player that Tottenham was supposedly interested in. I think you did mention him a couple of weeks ago, but you didn't have any high hopes about it.
I think me and Grizz, we spoke about it on Thursday, and Grizz was like, Tobes, you're signing a bad boy, you're signing a bad boy.
Yeah, you can't even lie. I'm saying it because it's Liverpool.
No. A lot of people are saying that you're waffling in the comments. I disagree. I think you've been, if there's, and the thing is, I've obviously, we all follow each other on Twitter. If there's one player that I think you've been sort of singing these praises for a while now, it's definitely Luis Diaz. You knew way more on him than me. But when Grizz was asking in the office, what was I saying to Grizz? He knows what I was saying. I said, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't believe Spurs are going to sign this guy simply because of the type of player he is and the type of player Spurs are. I don't think it's going to happen. First, we offered a bid that we knew would get knocked back. It gets knocked back. And the minute we prepare to offer a bid that they would accept, then the club that have been tracking him all along, and it was documented that Liverpool were tracking this guy, they come in and they sign him. So if it's a bidding war between Spurs and Liverpool, there's only one winner. So for me, yeah, it's egg on our faces as Spurs fans, yeah, again. But to be honest, a lot of the Spurs fans I spoke to didn't believe we were truly going to sign Diaz because we've been in this situation before.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's still, especially as an Arsenal.
But it's mad, isn't it? It's because it's true. Toby, you guys were like literally very close to getting him. Like, in terms of the financial package was there, the money was there. It was just his heart was set on Liverpool, from early doors. And we didn't have no intention of bringing him this window. Like, we had no intention of bringing him this far. We knew he's there for the summer because that would have been 1 year left on his contract. We would have got him, we were hoping to get him for around the 40 million, 50 million mark anyway, even though his release clause was 60 million. You guys were willing to do all of that. So, you know, unfortunately, Spurs action triggered us, if you know what I mean. Do you know what I mean? So we got whiff of it, obviously. And we thought, yeah, man, we ain't missing out on our summer target for the sake of a few months. And then we decided to bring it forward. Once we went in for him, you know, there was only going to be one winner in it. Realistically, Liverpool and Spurs, you know what I mean? There was only going to be one winner.
Well, yeah. No worry that it might be more of a future replacement for one of your forwards than someone who's adding...
It's not worry. It's unfortunately, it's the way it is. Too many people, including Liverpool fans, and I'm sure you guys are all the same with your, you know, players that mean a lot to you guys. Like, I don't know what Steve was like with Aguero, but you know what I mean? You know when you're coming, when they've done so much for you and you're coming to the end of their career, even though they're absolute legends and heroes, you know that there comes a time where they need to be replaced. Or sort of, not directly like straight replacement, but an eventual evolving of, you know, evolution of players. So, and that's where we're at with Mane and Bobby. We know Mo is a different breed. He's built differently. Like he's got another 3-4 years in him. But I can see eventually, see Luis Diaz taking the first team role, I should say. Not straight away, because he's an absolute able deputy. We've got another Jota level replacement, if you know what I mean, for the front lads. So now we've got five, I'd say, top class forwards to go into three positions, which we've never had. Mane isn't finished. You know, people keep saying Mane's finished. Right. Mane ain't finished, bro. Come on. People that say Mane ain't finished, they don't watch Liverpool. They don't watch Sadio. Have you seen him in AFCON? Mane is still king. You know what I mean? He's still king. But there comes a time where, because of the fact that they've been playing non-stop for four seasons for us, literally the same front three, comes a point where they've slowed down a little bit, or they're not reaching the levels they did. And then when you've got someone like Jota to come in, and now Luis Diaz, it only bodes well for the future, man. I'm very excited, because this guy, as I was telling Toby, this guy is such a Klopp player. And I'm sure you guys by now know what I mean by a Klopp player.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's just so aggressive with it, man.
That's the word.
He's so aggressive.
You know, you get aggressive attackers. He's an aggressive attacker. When he gets the ball, he's looking to front you up straight away. He's not looking to look pretty. As soon as he gets the ball, he's on the turn and he's looking to front you up. He gave Man City. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember that he scored that wonderful goal against Man City.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw it.
Champions League. Yeah, and that's the kind of player he is. Very direct, very quick. And that was no ordinary player that he was running away from. That was Kyle Walker, a specimen, a physical specimen. And that just shows you, you know what I mean, the levels that he can reach.
I think, Grizz, the one thing which I think is fantastic from Liverpool's perspective with that Diaz deal, and I guess with Jota to a certain extent, although you could say Firmino that he was falling off and maybe they should have acted sooner, was... you're bringing in your succession plan whilst your big hitters are still delivering. That's one of the things that I hate about my club, that they're never proactive. They're always reactive. They basically wait for the wheels to fall off before they do anything. I think Turkish will probably share the same sentiment as well.
100%.
And maybe to a certain extent, Saeed. But if you look at the two best run clubs, well, two of the best run clubs in the league, in Man City and Liverpool, they don't dwell. They literally don't dwell. Like, there's always a player waiting in the wings to either put pressure on the starting player or give them that seamless transition. Like, Man City brought in Rodri 2 years ago, and whilst he struggled initially and Fernandinho was still playing, we were questioning, oh, why is Fernandinho being dropped to the bench? This is that and the other. 2 years later, Fernandinho's still in the squad, and yet Rodri is the name that everyone has in their mouth. And that's what I mean by seamless. And that type of proactivity is why clubs like Liverpool and Man City stay at the top.
It's true. And I want to ask Steve how he feels about it, but being a Man City fan, Steve, you're probably fearless in terms of what your rivals or opposition have to offer. Like Tobe said, you're you're buying youngsters for the future whilst your current crop of players are still winning league titles. It's the perfect system. I wouldn't say as Liverpool's is as clean as Man City's is because of the ownership and the funds.
They don't spend. That's the only share with Liverpool. They don't spend. So, but in terms of player ID, still there.
Yeah. But Steve, what do you make of the Diaz signing for Liverpool?
Yeah, he's a good player. They've obviously been tracking him a while. Like I say, he played well against us. The thing is, Liverpool need them signings because just under that first 11, it's not as good as people make out. If you're putting James Milner still in starting lineups and things like that, there's going to be a time where that comes back to bite you. So it just looks like they're freshening it up underneath. They're just freshening it up. So like Man City, we've got players in every position. So if anyone's injured or away, somebody of equal measure comes in and does the job. At Liverpool, you find that if someone big is injured, you're patching it up all the time with someone that's steady but not quite elite, and that can cost you the title. So I think it's a good signing for Liverpool. I think Klopp's obviously identified him. Like you say, he is aggressive, he is fluent, and he's just going to slot into that attacking force, that three that they use when someone's missing. But then he'll get his chance, no doubt. And like you say, it's there for the taking. I mean, I read something about Liverpool the other day, and a few contracts are coming to the end, and there's a few people getting on a little bit now, and it looks like, you know, they're starting to move. So I'm not surprised. They need someone like that, like you say, to start the rebuild, because whether you like it or not, there is players there that need to go. Even if they're heroes and that's a thing that happens at City. We have to cut the losses sometimes when you think, why has he done that? But, you know, it is what it is. But, he's a good signing for Liverpool. Liverpool fans are going to be happy. And if they get the kid in from Fulham, Carvalho, if they get him over the line for relatively cheap money, I think it's another good signing just to bolster the squad. You know what I mean? So, yeah, fair play to him.
Again, the key thing in these players that you like Carvalho, again, only 18 or 19, I believe. So I think 18 or 19. Young player. Curtis Jones, Elliot, the centre-back, Konate, Tsimikas. I've just named you five, six of our near enough on the verge of first-teamers that are drastically bringing our young the average age again. So people talk about our average age of our team. Yes, for the attacking midfield, but we're settling in nicely. Add to that Trent, still only 22 or something. And now if we've got Diaz, 25. But, you know, again, that's something that people from the outside don't really see. But obviously me being a Liverpool fan, know that we're working behind the scenes to get that average age down. And we have to. Absolutely we have to. Because you're right, Steve. A lot of those heroes and legends, whatever, they're coming to the latter part of their stages in career.
Yeah, we've got a few super chats coming in. Before I look at them, though, Saeed Dam's obviously two clubs... looking to going into the season challenge Liverpool and Man City at the top of the table. Hasn't quite worked out, both cases, one worse than the other. But let's start with Dams. Do you know much about Diaz? If you do, what do you make of the signing?
Do you know, it is the thing with Liverpool for me over the years, it's like I never need to know much about the player before they get them on to know that they're going to bang off. Do you know what I'm saying? Obviously, I've known Diaz for quite a bit of time, but come on, this is Liverpool really missing the market. Like 90-95% of the targets that they end up getting always bang off. And I know that the scouting network is in place. Klopp has sorted everything out. Everybody from top to bottom have agreed on this guy. And he's just going to fit in like a glove. And like Steve was saying as well, it's going to be good backup for them. And he could potentially go there and do something very good. He's still relatively young. He's like, 24, 25? He's got quite a decent goal record at the moment. So I can't say anything negative with the signing, man. I can't say anything negative with that. That's what we should be doing, stuff like that. But hey, we're here struggling with Ousmane Dembele news on the last day of the season. People are really trying to see that happen, but it's not going to happen. I told people it's not happening. So,
yeah, Saeed as well. You obviously wanted Dembele last minute, but what do you make of the Diaz signing for Liverpool?
No, I just wanted to maybe go through some of the super chats. There's an interesting one at the end. I think maybe we could discuss, you know what I mean? I think maybe we can open the discussion.
Which one are you looking at?
To take part. I think maybe, you know what, go for the Shamam MCFC. That's a good question, that one.
We're talking about that.
Yeah, that one there.
Is that finally the end of the finally? Oh, go on, Saeed, read it out.
No, go for it. You're the host.
I don't want to say to read it out. I'll read it out.
Can I read it out?
What did you say? Where are you muttering?
anyway, you just bought it in.
So, is that the finally the end of the Coutinho money, Grizz? Can we finally put the phrase "the Coutinho money" to bed that Liverpool fans keep mentioning? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, like Coutinho, we sold three. Why is he asking? What kind of question is that? How many times have
I think that guy on Sky, that SoCal guy, whatever he's called or whatever he's called, fucking idiot, was talking shit the other morning. I was listening to it and he mentioned it. He went, "Yeah, they're spending the Coutinho money well." And I just
that's stupid. How many times? Like, look,
that's what I'm saying. So I think he's thrown it back in the mix. You know what I mean?
When you ask me a question, ask me what I've said, innit? So I've said the Coutinho money was for Alisson and Virgil van Dijk, who have been at the club for 3 seasons now. So of course we've spent the Coutinho money. So anyway, we know what we say.
Thanks for the super chat.
Thanks for the super chat. Thanks for bringing it up. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? So you're looking out for comments?
Okay, no problem.
I'm looking out for comments, but then I've got something to help you.
I'm gonna look out for comments. Let me just scan it.
You know what? I was actually going to praise you, Grizz, you know, for once. I'm going to praise you because a lot of people give Grizz a lot of shit on Twitter and that, and they claim he knows everything, this and that, but he's got with this one right, you know what I mean, on time. So I want to congratulate Grizz on that. And I think, you know, all the haters that comment under Grizz, they need to go away because Grizz got this on perfect. Diaz is here, you know what I mean? Hopefully Carvalho comes as well, you know what I mean? That's a good sign as well. But yeah, listen, it's a good player. Very, very good player for me. Fits the bill at Liverpool very well. And you know what? Grizz is kind of right. Maybe Klopp is building something again with this new young team, which a lot of people doubted whether Klopp could rebuild another team, you know, with the fact that, you know, there's a few players that are aging or getting towards or past their peak. You know, so fair play, you know what I mean? And it can only be a positive thing for them. I just think Diaz, if he gets going and he's straight into this team, one person will have to drop out. But then again, if you want to win and be in for all competitions, you've got to buy the best, and that's what they're doing. Maybe they're thinking about this Champions League. It's, you know, there isn't a distinct favourite, you know. So Liverpool are going in there. So all I can say for me, fair play Liverpool, and you've got a great, great player, Diaz. And if you get Carvalho as well, then even better. It's a good window from what we've seen at first, where Liverpool were penny pinching. Fair play, they did all right. So I'm not going to give you any hate to Liverpool.
Selection says, glad to see we got Diaz. We have to evolve with the times. Would love to see how we replace Firmino. Carvalho sounding good so far. Any updates on Carvalho since we've been online, Grizz? Or is it happening today? Is it not?
Yeah, it's literally going down to the last hour. I've been told we have asked for a 2-hour extension that you can ask for when you know that you can't complete a deal. So, you know, everything is agreed with the player, the agent, the family. The owner of Fulham has turned around and asked for a higher fee now. We've offered 5 million. They want 10 million. I'd hope that we get something in and around the 8 million with a couple of bonuses. They've now come in for Nico Williams as a plot twist, our fullback that we don't really use a lot. So that could help if we agree to a loan of Nico Williams out there. So yeah, this is going to go down right to the wire, man. So one to keep an eye on for sure. And again, he's a very good... I was speaking to Graham Bailey, a journalist from the Northeast today, and like he was saying about sort of how Graham covers a lot of the Championship, and he says how he's one of the best players that he's ever seen in the Championship. I know it's the Championship, but the fact that he's only 19 years old and Graham's seen a lot of football, that shows you that he's very highly regarded, this kid. Reminds me a lot of Phil Coutinho. And a bit of Jack Grealish, Steve. He's got a bit of Jack Grealish about him, the way he holds the ball, very like for a short guy, the way he
is able to calm, 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 calm. The 10 million Jack Grealish, is that what you're telling me? The 10 million Jack Grealish.
I think by the end of the season he may have more goals and assists than your Jack Grealish.
That's a shot.
I saw that.
Listen, I'm sure Jack Grealish is happy sat at the top of the league while you're trailing behind.
Of course he is.
signing your 10 million reinforcements. We're a bit worried on the blue side that, you know,
I know we're
signing these 10 million guys.
We ain't got the riches that you guys have got, man. But you know,
you're haggling with Fulham, mate. You know what I mean? Just give Fulham money, innit?
We're still spending the Coutinho money.
Exactly.
I told you, the comment just said
there in the chat, Man City still spending the Sean Wright Philip money, innit?
Yeah, exactly.
a lot of money there. Listen, over 3K in the building, 3.3K to be exact. So make sure the likes hit 1,000 usually before the show ends, but recently it's been before the half an hour mark. So let's see if we can make it happen again. And as always, make sure you subscribe to all the lads in the description below and the official channel, which has finally launched. Like I said, top 5 Prem goalkeepers. Look out for that after this show. Let me see the super chats quickly. I see a few Arsenal super chats. I will save them and get to them when we move on to Arsenal. Sean says, hi, guys. You guys are amazing. Keep it up. Never let the haters grind you down. Wise words. 100%, my guy. Love for the love, as always, people. And I think the only place to go to next is where the other activity's been over the last couple of days. Tobes, Tottenham have moved to sign a couple of players. I believe you tried to get one more in, but it didn't happen. But yeah. What are you saying about the window? How's it looking there? The deadline's approaching.
It's okay. In fact, it will do. I guess it will do. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm upset at some of the outgoings. I think Spurs a big priority, just as much as getting players in. A big priority was shifting some deadwood. They've got rid of Ndombele on loan, but to be honest, Leon have pulled our pants down for that deal. Really pulled our pants down for that deal. Lo Celso gone out on loan as well to Villarreal. So I guess the key is to just get him out of the squad because he's not really contributing. And then Ali on a permanent, I thought that would be a loan with obligation to buy, but I guess it technically is. I think he's in the process of completing a move to Everton, but apparently Newcastle are involved as well. And I think with that one, an initial sort of free transfer on a 2.5-year deal with 10 million coming in after 20 games. And then a subsequent 20 million after that, depending on some sort of bonuses or objectives. So outgoings wise, it's been good. It's been good. The three midfielders who, by all accounts, were not really contributing to Antonio Conte's ideology and style of play. And then Kulusevski coming in, I think that's a really good signing for Spurs. Some of our fans are apprehensive, and rightly so, to be honest, because I think right now we need players who can come in and do the business. But I like him, man. I've liked him since the first time I watched him a couple of years back, man. I think he's a baller and I think he's a player that's waiting to explode. I'm hoping he can find his feet relatively soon, but I'm not an idiot. I expect there will be some adaptation time. So I'm happy with that signing and I think he directly fills a position of need for us, which is the right wing spot. But our other signing, Bentancur, he's a good player in his own right. I think he's good at what he does, but when I look at the profile midfielder that I feel like Spurs needed, he doesn't really fit the bill. He's someone who's quite tenacious, good in the tackle, decent at ball retention, but Spurs need a midfielder who can do the physical parts of the game well, but also progress the ball consistently well. And I don't think that's Bentancur's strong point. And then when we get rid of all the deadwood, we only have 4 midfielders, which I guess Conte wants to rotate. But me personally, I feel like 4 midfielders is a bit too short. I would prefer one more in there just to have that added safety in case we experience any injuries, suspensions, etc.
What profile you was after?
I wanted a more sort of expressive central midfielder, like someone who could either like carry the ball up the pitch or pass the ball up the pitch. Like Newcastle signed that Bruno Guimarães guy. And if you look at his statistics and you look at his quality when he's passing from deep, that's the type of midfielder I felt Spurs need. Someone who can actually consistently probe defences with their passing. I don't think we have a midfielder who does that consistently well. Like Winks can do it once in a blue moon. Højbjerg can do it again once in a blue moon. Skip can't really do it. And Bentancur, not really his strong point. So,
I'll ask you a question, Toby. If I, you know, no disrespect, I wouldn't call it Juventus rejects, but if it wasn't for Pochettino's like kind of links to Juventus, you know, would this kind of this signing flatter you? You know, would it have been like, you know, one of them where you're thinking, are they going to improve your squad? Are they going to improve you massively? Because I don't know. I think Kulusevski could be a good player, but Bentancur, is he going to fit in to what, you know, Conte does? Are you happy that these signs are going to be, you know, make Tottenham better?
I think they'll
to add to that, yeah. I know what he's saying, because today I was talking about, today and yesterday I was talking about Arthur and the fact that it seemed that Juventus in their rebuild over the last couple of years haven't got it right, and now they're trying to get rid of the players they've got.
They're trying to get rid of them, yeah.
And yeah, for me, Arthur would have felt like, as much as Arthur has shown quality, especially at Barcelona at times, I just feel like, all right, we're getting rid of dead wood, but are we taking another team's dead wood? Or like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think that's the same.
I think he raises a good point, and I think that's the knee jerk approach from our board. I think they are two good players. Yes, they have come from a point where Juve are trying to offload a lot of these players to raise funds and rebuild their team, but I think they're good players, man. And I'm not just saying that because they signed for Spurs. I like Kulusevski before he was even linked to Spurs. And Bentancur, I think he's a good player at what he does. But
I'm only thinking that because Ndombele, Lo Celso, when at Lyon, they were quality. You know, Lo Celso was doing bits at Real Betis. You know, I don't know if I'm a Tottenham fan, I don't know if these two signings fill me with kind of any kind of, you know. They're good players. I think Bentancur, when he came onto the Juventus scene, he was touted as a big thing in the future. But has he hit the heights? I'm not sure. That's why I doubt these signings as to whether if they're good or not.
Yeah, no. I think you're not wrong to have your doubts, because when you look at their performances, Bentancur is one that hasn't really performed to the level that Juve fans want. But I think he's also been played in a position that doesn't really suit him. And I think Kulusevski, he wasn't really a regular starter for Juventus. So he was coming off the bench a lot of times and was played in a multitude of positions as opposed to his ideal position. And I think your overarching point is true, because whilst both are good players, and whilst I do think Kulusevski is the one that's got the highest ceiling of the two, it begs the question as to whether some of the key objectives that we had going into this window have been ticked off. Everyone knew how much we needed a right wing back. We've not signed a right wing back. Everyone knew how much punch and ball progression we needed in the midfield. We've not signed any midfielders who can do that. And our best midfielder at doing that, who didn't really work at a functional level in Ndombele, we've sold him. And then we're still left with one senior striker. It was a shambles that we went into the season with one senior striker to begin with, but we've done nothing to rectify it this window. Centre-backs, I knew we weren't going to sign a centre-back this January, because I feel like Conte feels like what he's got can do a decent job until the end of the season. But yeah, right wing back, you've not signed one. Creative mid, you've not signed one. Striker, you've not signed one. So whilst Bentancur and Kulusevski are good signings, whilst they've made some good outgoings, the squad still feels like it's lacking on quality. And yes, Rome wasn't built in a day, but after so many years of seeing this squad just decay in front of us as well, this was a window where we needed to inject real quality into our team and try and push for top four the way it's open. And we can't help but but I can't help but feel like we've sort of shortchanged ourselves in terms of the amount of talent that we can bring in. But time will tell. Time will tell.
You can put that to January, though. Dams, have you been on the show since Conte's been in charge of Tottenham? Or was it?
Yeah,
just
I have.
With Conte, your knowledge of him and then the two signings Tottenham have made, is there anything to worry about your end of the table? I know it's close at the moment, but where Chelsea want to be is not close, isn't it?
Do you know what it is? I'm not going to... Honestly, for me, it doesn't bother me in any way, shape or form, honestly speaking. And that's probably not going to come back to bite me either, because at the end of the day, like, Tottenham have lost two of the players that would be... I mean, were supposed to be beneficial to how Conte operated, and they've gone out and signed two people that nobody was really talking about in the first place. So the fact that they've done this little business, they needed those wing-backs. Conte really thrives on having very, very mobile wing-backs. They didn't get a right wing-back. They went out and got two midfielders that are basically just going to sit there and not going to do too much. I mean, even from what I've seen, I've not watched too much of them. I'm not going to act like I've watched a lot of them. But from what I've seen, they are not really that techy on the ball, and they don't really progress it anywhere near as well as what they had before. So for me, it's just like Conte said in his press conferences, like, this team is so far off doing anything reasonable. And when Tobes, I was even going to throw a question to you when you finished, before you finished talking. I was going to say, like, you said it's going to get you over to the end of the season. What is that for you, look? Because those two signings, for me, they look like Conte has given up signings. That looks like Chelsea's second season. Those signings, those caliber of names, look like what we're doing in the second year. So I'm not really bothered at all, man. I can't lie to you. I'm not bothered in any way at all.
Nah, I think Kulusevski's a baller, man. I think you'll see the best of him, even if the goals don't come in.
That Conte, though?
Yeah. Conte wanted him at Inter Milan. I think you'll see. Honestly, this kid can play. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by what you see from him. Bentancur, it might be much the same when you look at the profile midfielders we have. But again, these guys aren't bad players, and they definitely improve the quality of our team. But as far as ticking off the key objectives that we had in January are concerned, we still have a long way to go.
Toby, you looked me in the eye in Croydon many years ago. You told me that Ndombele was a world-class player.
I never said world class, Steve. The video is there. Go check it. I never said world class.
You did. And you said, because you got to the Champions League final, you can attract world class players like Ndombele. And I told you about him then. And you said I was deluded and you're talking nonsense and all that. But at the end of the day, listen, you can't jazz these two signings up to me. You can't be trying to tell us that this kid. I'm not even going to say his name because I can't say a Aubameyang, so I ain't saying Cook or whatever he's called, yeah? You can't just speak. Like I say, the two winners in this transfer window for me is Leon and Everton, because I can see Dele Alli going to Everton, me, and having a fresh start and ripping it up. But these two that you've got there, I know it's January and I know it's hard to get your players in. So I just think it's a case of maybe Ndombele and Dele Alli were causing a little bit of a riff for him. Maybe he just didn't fancy him. Maybe he didn't want him around the place. He shipped him out. And these two coming in now, look, I'm not going to rip them apart before they've played, but if you've got one of the best managers in the world and he's signing players like that, I'm just thinking...
But I'm Steve, but you know what it is, Steve? I don't think it's his fault. I genuinely think Conte's tried and made his targets very clear. I just think, and I'm not bantering Toby because we've fucking done that all season. And you know what I mean? He's dead anyway. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing to banter left. But it's true. The players have to want to go there. It's the pull. So, and I don't think these two signings are bad at all. I think they're very good players. They're very good players. No, but what I'm saying is, like Steve's saying that the level and all that. I get that, Steve. I agree with you. But like I often say, that's the level of Spurs at the moment. They can't get that level above players. For example, Luis Diaz is above that. How do you say his name?
Kulusevski.
Now, Kulusevski is a very good player. He's got a crack on him, left-footed, very strong. I don't think he's the quickest, though. That's my only problem.
That Spurs team
needs an injection of pace, I think, because it's one of the...
They've got rid of Ndombele and Dele Alli, right?
Yeah.
Forget Dele Alli recently. You know that Dele Alli's a player because it's in there. We've seen it. We know it's there. Steve, and we know Ndombele on his day. it can do well. And Ndombele and Dele Alli are better than them two. 100%.
I disagree.
I can't lie. I'm siding with Steve on this one to some regard. I mean, with obviously with Dele Alli. No, Dele Alli, honestly, over the last 12 to 18 months, he's not been it at all. But the point I'm trying to get across here is, like, Toby, you can't look down that camera and tell me that those signings are satisfactory. I don't believe that. Because for me, I mean, you can talk about... I never said they're both satisfactory,
but they're both good players. I never said they're both satisfactory.
Well, is that really the level you should be looking at right now with a manager like Antonio Conte? The point I'm trying to get across is, for me, at the end of the day, I'm looking at those two signings and I'm just like, whatever. I see what Liverpool have done, and I was like, okay, all right. So obviously, I'm not saying Chelsea are competing with Liverpool and City, but I see what they're doing, and then I see what you're doing, and I'm just like, why? What was the point in the first place? Like, it's just like, okay, like whatever. Nothing has really changed here. Like, you have let Ndombele go because you had the manager like Conte, who was never going to really use him to the best of his ability. We've both spoken about this before. Your channel, mine, whatever. And then you've now got these two. You've got these two guys in, and it's just like. It's so unappetizing, man. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like bread and butter. Like, what's going on?
You can say they're both unappetizing, but we can be objective here. Like, if these players didn't sign for Spurs,
it's good for Tottenham, isn't it? Let's be real. It's good for Tottenham.
If these players didn't sign for Spurs and they signed for another team near our level,
we'd be saying that they're
good signings. Because guess what? In isolation, they're good players. Forget about the scattergun. One thing. Let me just plug in my charger. Forget about the scattergun approach.
It's all over the place there.
Sorry. So forget about how we got to those signings, because yes, we know our board is a mess. Yes, we know that the priorities are not in place. Yes, we know that the squad building that we needed in January was not good enough. I've said that already. That's why I can't give our window more than a 5 out of 10. I don't think these signings are like creme de la creme signings, but I can't sit here and tell you that I don't believe in Kulusevski. I do believe in Kulusevski. I think that's a really good signing for Tottenham.
Level?
I think that's a really good signing for Tottenham. I think he provides an immediate upgrade on anything we got on that right hand side. And Bentancur, whilst he's not the midfielder I wanted, he definitely walks into our midfield now. So at the very
and
least,
it's better than what you got. And it's better than what you
this
got.
This is what I'm saying. At the very least, they improve. Sorry, my charger's bugging. At the very least, they improve what we have right now. But whether those improvements will be enough to get top four, not for me. And that's where the disappointment.
I think you might get a shock with Dele Alli. I think you might get a shock. I think if he goes to Everton under Lampard, I think Lampard might get a tune out of him.
Listen, I hope he does. But he's done at Spurs, man. He's done at Tottenham. It was time to go, man. It was time to go. Thanks for the memories. Scored some great goals. Had some good times. Had some good times at Spurs, but it's honestly time to go. We've had enough of Dele, man. Fresh start. Does him and does us some good.
Let's look at what the super chats are saying. One's just come in that I've quickly ruled out because Fabrizio has just tweeted saying Dembele stays at Barca. He's never really been close to signing with any club this January. That's surprising considering the Oba one looks like it's nearly over the line, but we will get onto Arsenal. Big up Bashar. Saeed's become a pundit asking all the questions just to deflect from his mud man. Mud United, still love you, bro. Told you need a right wing back more than another central midfielder.
Facts.
Can I just say, you know, this chat is very sensitive. You know, this is what you call football questions. So if I can't ask football questions, then you need to leave this big six channel. That's all I'm saying.
Very sensitive.
That's, I'm asking football questions. Big up Mo. He says Tottenham thought they were getting Ruben Diaz and Luis Diaz until the big dog stepped in. No pull whatsoever. Doing says, love the show. Big up, Turkish. What's your opinion on Oba? We're going to move on to Arsenal next anyway. By the way, Tobes, Bottleham will win nothing. Your Amazon documentary was nothing or nothing.
Thanks for the super chat, bro.
Yeah.
That's one of them ones, isn't it? Like, you should just keep that for Twitter, innit?
Dele's one of the most overrated players ever. Average, says Ronaldinho. And one more here on Tottenham. Charlie says, a lot of Spurs fans upset of leaving the squad thin, but Ali, Lo Celso and Ndombele been pure arse when playing lately. So not much to miss there, to be honest.
I agree. Can I just address that one? I agree with the point about not missing them, but the point of frustration from Spurs fans is we've let so many players go and we've only brought in one midfielder, and that one midfielder does not really provide any progression. That's the frustration, really. That's the frustration.
This one's asking, you're happy about Traore saying no?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, still, he looking at the transfer window now, you wouldn't have taken him on top of what you...
I didn't want him. I didn't want him. I know a lot of people were interested to see what he could do at right wing back, but I would have just rather Spurs splash the money on an actual right wing back, not a poor winger who wants to try and play right wing back. He didn't even want to play right wing back for us. He wanted to go back to Barcelona, so it's calm.
And I think that's it for the Tottenham one. So we're going to move into the Arsenal ones to kick it off.
What Arsenal ones?
Yeah, what Arsenal? You're right, really. What ones you don't want to talk about us? Yeah, because I can move swiftly on.
No. Let's talk about Arsenal. Right? That's what I was asking. What Arsenal ones?
Let me get the super chats in first. Curtis, I think you mean Turkish, but either way, I'll let him know you said it if you want me to. We know you're hurting right now, but all I have to say is, we know Arsenal is the virus, but Arteta is the vaccine. I say give him the deal.
I can't believe he said that, man.
Big up Turkish, and the panel says, Jashard, transfer deadline day, or as Arsenal fans call it, Monday. Oh, wait, breaking news. Arsenal still haven't signed anyone, and we're not going to. I see someone say Turkish is waiting for Arsenal to sign someone. This could be a 365-day stream. I'm sure we ain't be doing much business, my guy. Josh says, deep it. Oba on a free. Eddie and Laka kept with 3 Premier League goals combined. The fan base saying we saved 29 mil, which Girona will invest into his NFL team. My guy, I don't get the excuses, man. I really don't. Saul says, Arsenal skeleton squad when top 4 is possible. It's crazy. And big up Rye as well. Big up you guys as usual, watching the big 6 from work. Turks, I'm fuming with Arsenal right now. Edu and Arteta need to leave now. Bro, sorry I couldn't jump on your live show on Friday. I had work. I didn't do a live show on Friday, my guy. We done it on Thursday night on the DR Sports channel, but you didn't miss anything on Friday. And Usman says, no way Arsenal are stupid enough to not bring in a number 9, right? 2016, we are. 2016, we should have won the Premier League, but no one came in. And then that bum Giroud went 4 months without scoring. And ever since that year, we finished second. We haven't made Champions League since. It's all mad. Turkish, set up a protest. End of season, please, says Lucas. The chances of that are very slim, but we'll see what happens. We'll see. All right, cool. Well, how are we starting this? Because I've been talking about us all day and there's nothing to talk about. Like, I don't get it. What do you want to know? What do you want to ask? Tobes, you seem to, want to ask. Grizz, you're shaking your head. Does anyone
I'm just going to say my bit out of the way and then leave the questions to Saeed and Toby, because Saeed and Toby are the ones that like questioning. I like to answer. I'll deal with answers.
We love it.
So that's what I'm just going to say. I'm going to say this is horrendous, shocking. There's a word I practiced earlier, but I can't remember it now. Help me out, man. I practiced one word earlier. Negligent. Negligent. That wasn't that hard. Why the fuck did I need to practice that? But still, we move. Negligent. This is so negligent from Arsenal Football Club. To Turkish, because I haven't been... Obviously, I've been busy with the Liverpool stuff, yeah? Just remind me of the people that you've let go in this window.
Pablo Marie, Chambers, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, Kolasinac, Balogun, Aubameyang.
Are you fucking serious as a football club? Getting rid of 6 fair play squad players, not very good players, but still players that...
You can't include Oba in that, but... yeah.
Okay, sorry, Oba, yeah. 1 or 2 good players, but overall... they're still part of your club. You've let go of 6 players. Your squad is looking so thin now. It's looking, honestly, it's looking weak as fuck, even if you get a couple of more injuries as well. And they haven't even looked to address any one of those positions or players. That's me done. I find it negligent.
Like, what do we put it to?
Your owners.
Is Edu and Arteta's holding?
Is this Arteta? There's no coach worth his salt that wouldn't want replacements for 6 able squad players.
Fell out with Aubameyang. He's the one that's
given
the
green light for Aubameyang. You're naming one player. And I said, I agreed with Aubameyang to get rid of him. If you're not going to use him, and do you remember back in the day when we had that indiscipline business going on? I said, get rid of him then. I said, there's no future for Aubameyang. And so it's turned out.
Okay, but they need midfielders now. He's the one that decided not to play Ainsley Maitland-Niles. He's the one that decided to loan him out. That's 2.
What can I say, brother? 2. What can I say? You want to turn this into a thing?
I'm saying I'm saying, do you not see how mad it is, Grizz, that a lot of the players that they have on loan could do a job in this Arsenal team, but they can't do a job because for whatever reason, either they've fallen out of Arteta or he's just not picked them. Saliba's another one that's in France doing the business now, and now they've got Holding, Gabriel, Ben White. If Ben White or Gabriel are injured, they're pissed. They're absolutely pissed. So whilst you can put some blame on the likes of Edu and the powers that be who are deciding which players get sold for what they get sold, which players come in, Arteta has to, he's not blameless in this situation.
I'm a bit distracted, people, but Liverpool have just reached an agreement for Fabio Carvalho. You know what I mean? Saeed, tell him once again that Grizz, you know what I mean, ain't missing much these days. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
tell him once
fair again play, Grizz, man. I think we should give a round of applause in the chat as well.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, not the violins, man. Get some claps out for you.
No, claps. Yeah.
Tier one, man. Tier one. But anyway, we carry on with the Arsenal business. Sorry.
Steve.
I can't see how they can't sign someone. Like you say, you've just listed the players and you've listed, you know, where you're going to be short. I mean, you just don't know, do you? I mean, sometimes in these transfer windows late on, to enable certain teams to get deals over the line, players quickly become available. I know you can get extensions and stuff, but I will be absolutely baffled if he doesn't sign anyone in these last few hours, you know, it doesn't look likely, but the shit's going to hit the fan. You just bring in unnecessary pressure on the manager and the board and that. He should have, if he wasn't going to sign anyone, he should have just kept over and just said, nah, you're not going anywhere, mate. You can come back here. Do you know what I mean? But now he's let him go. People are fuming. The Arsenal fans are fuming. So it's going to be peak couple of hours for the Arsenal.
I think he's
going to
get new deals.
I think someone's coming, me. Steve. I don't know what it is. I've just got a feeling that something's happening. So
no one's coming, man. Come on, Steve. No one's coming.
No one's coming, man.
You never know. I'm telling you, man. We signed Benjani at 2:30 in the morning, man, and he scored at Old Trafford and we won. So Benjani.
That's Benjani, though, man.
Listen, Benjani getting Arsenal's team now.
Mercenaries.
The window ends in 11 o'clock, Steve. They're not signing anyone. They're dusted.
Keep the faith, man. You're scared, Toby, in case they do sign someone, innit?
I'm not scared at all. They're not signing anyone.
Your dusty signings from Juventus, nobody cares about.
At least we made signings. They could do with some of those.
You might as well have not made anyone because it's just they're not even worth talking about, are they?
If you believe that, then so be it. But you've just said that a player that they've ostracized for the best part of a month, you're saying they should keep him because they need the squad depth that badly. So clearly they need players.
That's why I think someone's coming in, man.
You know? You know the comment is saying it's Edu, not Arteta. But Turkish, don't they have a good relationship? Don't they talk a lot about
saying they go hand in hand, right?
I think people say things like that, you know.
They go hand in hand, no? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They go hand in hand, man.
Now, when I rip into Kroenke, and I've done it for long enough, I don't absolve the managers or the director of football of any responsibility. I never do that. It's not like I say, it's not Wenger, it's Kroenke. I always, there's bits of blame to pass around, whether someone's agreeing to lower standards or whether someone's lying to the fans or whether someone's just hands tied behind their backs behind closed doors. But to the fans, they're making it seem like, you know, it's ruthlessness, it's discipline and all of this. Listen, at the end of the day, yeah. We've signed an American youth last day of the window, an American youth from Stan Kroenke's American soccer team. If that doesn't show you that the reality is all this owner cares about is his American franchises and how to be more commercial and how to open them. Some people are saying he's bought in for, you know, to open up the market in the USA. The guy don't even play for the US national team. So what market are we going to open up? He's 23. He's a centre-back. He hasn't played for the US. I don't even want the US national team starters at Arsenal Football Club, let alone the one that hasn't made the national squad. But people are telling me it's to open up the market there. What? Do Americans even know about my man? I don't think so. I don't get it. At the end of the day, Arteta has to take... Someone can't say... 100%. It's not Arteta. It's Edu. Or it's not Edu. It's Arteta. No one can say 100%. So you lay the blame all over the gaff. Why? Because there's definite evidence that says Arteta has, either you can say lied, if you don't like the word lied, then manipulated is another word you can use. That's facts. That's what's happened about all of this back in trust the process. It's bollocks. Edu, the guys, Edu, our director of football, yeah, on Friday night, posted a picture of himself on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok, wherever it is, I don't know where he went, of himself holding a glass of wine, just chilling. Like, who does, are these lot mad? And then the Arsenal Twitter account today tweets like 8 times in 7 hours. One of them tweets was, good to see you, Manuel Almunia.
Bruv, what the fuck was that about?
The other day, I thought about this earlier, on AFTV. Who finds it good to see Almunia? If I ever see Almunia, I'll have to ask him a few questions about some performances at this club. Not be like, it's good to meet you,
Champions
mate.
League.
But these men
Champions
are running
League, the Premier League.
Bro, his first game for the club should have been his last game for the club. In 2022, this club is posting a picture of him saying, good to see you. Why? On deadline day. And then they're doing loan watch and showing Balogun. Why? Why are we keeping Eddie Nketiah, who's on the way out, but loaning out Balogun, who you've just given a 5-year contract to? Why are we doing that? Why? Yeah, I don't.
That's what Arsenal have done to Turkish, man.
Because your club,
your
manager and your director of football are all over the shop. That's why.
But is he taking the piss or not? Am I going mad? How can my man pose with wine on Friday? Like, deadline day is not on Monday. This guy was.
He was sucking toes about a month ago.
Streets are saying all he does is just warm up his barbecue and just cook meat 23 out of 24 hours a day.
I've seen him with a cigar, I've seen him doing barbecue, I've seen him now hold up a glass of wine, all whilst big business should be getting done. Big business, you know. This guy's chilling like there's no tomorrow. He's chilling like he's director of football at Man City. That's what I'd expect the Man City director of football to do. Just chill. Just chill and show off because you can. Edu's just doing it. No, I just don't understand, you know. I really don't understand. Round and round in circles. Where do I go to next? Where was my next point? I'm so vexed with this football club, Kai. It's another season down the drain. Even though, Steve, I know you just got onto Tobes, but Tobes is right. I didn't want them players. And with Arthur, I questioned it. And I don't think that's the level or quality or character we need coming in. But at least they done something in the end. At least they done something.
Sometimes, I get what you're saying with the lack of numbers, but sometimes in January, you can't panic. And some teams do panic. There's going to be some of these signings that teams have made in this January, you know, and the fans are going to. I know it's great when you sign someone. We all want to do a deadline day deal. But there's going to be signings where you think, you know what I mean? Wow, why is he signed in? Because people do panic. They do. And I don't know. I think some of the ones you people are criticising, players that are leaving clubs saying, oh, I'm glad to get rid of him. I think some of them might turn out good signings for the clubs they've gone to. And I think some of the new boys might struggle. That's just my opinion. But, you know.
I don't get this, my guy. We learned from our mistakes. We panic buyed in the past years and it came back to haunt us. What do you mean we've learned? How can you call this window learning from our mistakes? You can't say that.
You got Jack Wilshere, isn't it? Jack Wilshere's training with you.
Yeah, man. I
can't lie. Like, even from, because I know it does take off what Steve was saying as well. My thing with what you lot have done this window, letting Aubameyang go is one thing, but you let go of 5 other players. This is the sort of window you have in summer when you've actually got plans and you're trying to get in fresh blood that can get your team patterned. But you lot have gone out and done the summer thing in January and you've not signed anybody. Now, that's why I kind of agree with Toby. You try and get somebody in potentially. But then again, I keep telling people, all these big clubs, look at Liverpool and look at Manchester City. They knew what they were going to be getting patterned in January. They got it sorted out. Boom, end of conversation. You don't hear too much noise about it. You hear for the first 2 or 3 days and it's done over the line. Arsenal are never going to get anything panned, clearly. Because if you guys are going to get something sorted out, you'd have heard about it ages ago. Same thing with Chelsea, same thing with Tottenham. Those are 2 panic buys. So, honestly, man, Arsenal fans, it's another year, innit? When I came on Big Six and I was talking about Teta and Edu and everybody, I was telling him, oh yeah, there's progress. And I was getting cooked in the comments. Here we are once again, man.
But Dami, I think it's like when you look at some of the players that Arsenal have got rid of, you can't really make many an argument for keeping some of them. Like, there's not really an argument to keep Callum Chambers, is there?
But why are you letting go of players in January? Arsenal, isn't this the same club that literally went to request from games off as well? Like, there's power in numbers, bro.
There's nothing wrong with getting rid of players that aren't playing. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with getting rid of them. Callum Chambers' contract is up in, 6 months, Turkish? Is that right?
Even that, let me explain a little story with that. We could have triggered a year extension in December and then sold him for more. But we didn't do that in December, hence why we've only got 2 million for him.
Yeah, that's a different point to what I'm making. So
yeah, it is. It's different. I just wanted to add that in.
Yeah, no, I get it. So that's more along Grizz's point on negligence. Like, just, I know that the summer signings in isolation, yeah, they've had a positive impact on Arsenal. But when you look at your business as a whole, it's just been so poor. When you look at the number of players that you've sold at a loss or you've had to let go for free, it just screams like a club who just don't really have any idea how to manage this squad properly. And then I think, back to my initial point, there's no qualms in selling redundant players that aren't offering anything to your team. There's no qualms in doing that. But when you don't replace them, knowing that you've got top four that's potentially on the line here that you can actually achieve with a couple quality additions, that's where it's concerning. And then I just want to zero in on the point with Aubameyang. That is the highest level of negligence I've ever seen at Arsenal. Like, that is, it's actually inconceivable that you have two strikers in Eddie Nketiah and Lacazette who have scored a combined, 2-3 league goals this season? I don't even know how many league goals they scored this season, but they're not goal scorers. Lacazette has taken something like 12 or 13 shots in like how many games this season? That's embarrassing. They're not goal scorers for Arsenal, and you're telling me that you're gonna keep the faith in those two to fire you into top four, and you're gonna let Aubameyang go on a free transfer to Barcelona, and you're not gonna bring anyone in? The Aubameyang decision for me is ridiculous, and it's ridiculous because you have no right to let him go at this stage of the season without bringing anyone in. If you had a striker in now that you spent big money on or whatever, nobody would be talking. But the fact of the matter is,
it's about a process, though.
Fuck the process, bro. It doesn't make sense. They're fighting for top four this season.
No, but I get it. But the process is to take away that toxicity.
No. You say
that's what they're doing, though.
You say it's toxicity, whatever, bro. He is their best goal scorer as a striker. He's the best goal scorer. Can you not put your issues to a side for 6 months? Get through the season and sort it out.
I get you. No, you're right. You're right. But I'm saying on the point of Arsenal, they're thinking, you know what? We might as well just get rid of him and, you know what I mean, and keep them. And obviously the wages now are on the books. Let's build it and let's have this sustainable model. And
then why are people talking about wages?
Saeed, what do you think is going to hurt more, yeah? Saving, yeah. How much are they even going to save on Aubameyang?
29 million, isn't it?
29. Saving like 20 million on Aubameyang's wages or missing out on the minimum 50 million that you get if they have this chance at top four and they don't take it. What's going to hurt more? So I said, what's going to hurt more for Arsenal, yeah? Keeping Aubameyang and maybe bolstering the team and actually making a proper push for top four, or not keeping Aubameyang, keeping the squad as is, keeping the squad threadbare, missing out on top four and missing out on potentially 40, 50 million guaranteed.
Missing out on top four, of course.
Okay then. So the point I'm making is it's downright incompetent.
I totally agree with you.
No, I'm not saying you disagree. I'm saying when you actually deep it, it is scary what they're doing. Crazy. Nketiah, how many league goals has Nketiah got this season? Because Turkish, I was doing my research today, and it's actually mad. Lacazette is a terrible goal scorer. Like, well, I don't really get why I'm doing that's if you deep it's it, crazy.
If you deep the whole situation, 4 years ago this month, we signed Aubameyang and put Lacazette as our backup striker. 4 years later, we sell Aubameyang and we go into the rest of the season with Lacazette as our main striker. Does that sound like a club that has learned from its mistakes? Whoever the last guy was that sent in that comment. That learning from your mistakes is selling up when players are going into their last 2 years or getting them to sign a contract if you want them to sign a contract. This Lacazette and Eddie Nketiah story should have ended a long time ago. It's not a January issue that them two have 6 months left on their contract. Okay, the Aubameyang issue is a January issue because that's happened mid-season. But if we had sorted Eddie out and Lacazette out 18 months ago, 24 months ago, even last summer, we potentially had a striker ready to replace Aubameyang. Because we waited and waited and waited, we are in this situation because of that. So as much as, you know, we can talk about January and the way, you know, we've left it, it goes back a long time and it's evidence we are not learning from our mistakes. I just don't get it with some Arsenal fans. I just don't see how you can make any excuse for this transfer.
No, there should be no excuses. Absolutely not.
Can I give you some stats, Turkish? So Lacazette and Nketiah have got a combined 20 appearances this season and they scored 3 goals. Yeah, Lacazette is responsible for all 3 goals. So 3 goals in 16 Premier League appearances. This guy has only taken 17 shots in 16 games. So he's taken just over one shot a game. This is meant to be your bagsman, your number nine. And people think that Arsenal are just going to win games willy-nilly with a striker who is barely taking over one shot per match. Aubameyang has 4 goals in 14 appearances. He has more goals than both of them put together in less appearances. Like, what is your club playing at here? It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Makes no sense. It makes no sense to me. And then, lo and behold, like you said, you're going to put the pressure on the young Gs. You're going to put the pressure on Saka. You're going to put the pressure on Martinelli. You're going to put the pressure on Emil Smith-Rowe. And when they inevitably go through spells when they're not scoring, and Arsenal on a barren run, similar to what
I don't think there is that pressure. I generally think there isn't pressure, and it's just kind of almost like a bedding in process for these.
No, ones. Bro.
I hate the word, but I just think that Arsenal have got this project where it's about the youth and it's about, you know, a sustainable model. And that maybe they're thinking, you know what, if we can get to a sixth place position and go from there. And then I genuinely think that's what they're doing.
I think you're mistaken what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if they fail, it's going to be a hindrance. It's going to cost them their career. If they fail, they fail. But what I'm saying is Arsenal are placing too much reliance on their young players. And they've not put in
absolutely
to carry the burden, which is what I'm saying.
This is why when they inevitably
go through their spells, the team is going to suffer.
But the problem is, though, I keep saying that to Arsenal fans, one minute it's like Arteta and the club, yeah, we're on a good trajectory. And one minute they flip-flop. That's my perspective. Whereas from day one, I kept it clear that there's certain things at the football club aren't happening. Whereas for me, this is why I can't really feel sorry for Arsenal fans. One minute they're flip-flopping. And Turkish will know. He knows because he's a real one. And he said it from day one. Everyone just keeps flip-flopping. Yeah, we're going in a good way. And then it's like we're doing this. And so for me, I don't know what Arsenal fans want. You know what I mean? It's just confusing.
Turkish, mod me. I'm in that chat.
You know?
Mod, yeah.
Yeah, because then dickheads are going to try to copy me, innit?
And mod that. Listen.
He's trying to copy
Steve. Steve, you lot bought Ruben Diaz late in the window, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it after the start of the season?
I can't remember, to be honest. I can't remember.
Late in the window.
Did we buy him? Laporte we bought in January.
I'm just trying to think of examples where, listen, this term panic buying, JG has used it again here. It's not about learning from not panic. Like, a panic buy can turn out to be good. A panic buy might be your plan C, but without a plan, Arsenal's panic buy tends to be shit Who's available? Let's just get him. When that's the type of panic buy you're doing, of course it's going to turn out as a failure.
That's our model. That's literally our model.
Well, we listen. Arsenal and transfer windows, it's all mad. But if you have a player there that's plan C and you think to yourselves, oh, well, we've left it late. There's no one left. Let's just go and spend the money on him. That could be classified a panic buy too, but there's more structure to it. You plan for the worst case scenario, not just looking at who's available or what dominoes can be knocked down in the last few days to potentially... I think, honestly, Arsenal probably waited for the last few days to see what dominoes fell. Dominoes fell for us to get Mesut Ozil. Dominoes fell for us to get Alexis Sanchez, yeah? One was Gareth Bale signing for Real. One was Neymar signing for Barca. Those dominoes worked for us, and that's why we signed those two massive players, two of the biggest players we've ever signed. Partey, release clause. Aubameyang, dominoes fell for us again. He was upset at Dortmund. It looked like he wanted to go. Chelsea wanted a backup striker, a three-way transfer, happy days. At the end of the day, it seemed like Arsenal and our model is wait to see what shifty business we can do in the last few days to pick out a gem. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. All of them, man, have left. Well, apart from Partey, all of them, man, have left us now in an unsatisfactory manner. Every single one, including Oba. So how can man tell me we haven't learned anything, my guy, anything? Because we shouldn't leave ourselves in a situation where we're even talking about panic buying after having done it so many times. But let's look at some super chats.
Yeah, go on. Chuck in the super chats.
Because I can go all day about this shit, and I got an AFTV stream to do in about half an hour as well. Where are we? Don't worry, Tobes and Saeed will finish eighth again. Arsenal are just a letdown.
Triple H spot, man. We told
you. Steve has more hair than Arsenal have made signings.
Imagine. Leave Steve Ball's head alone, man.
Would you take Saeed and Steve as strikers? At least I know they're, you know.
York and Colt, man. To be honest.
We bag goals, man. I have more shots than Lacazette, anyway.
I don't know if you man will turn up to training on time and all that, though. Selection said, the deal is done. The deal is done, Grizz. You mentioned it, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Carvalho joining Fulham. Couple updates. You know Zapata available for 5.5 million. What the fuck are they doing,
who
bro?
Who said Zapata? You lot don't know bullshit. Zapata is one of the hottest strikers
that's
in Europe.
That's bullshit. Proper good 5.5.
player. But
he's a bad Newcastle Bradford, they got knocked back. That's bullshit.
Yeah, man. He's a bad boy. Zapata. He's a handful. 5.5 million. But thank you.
Where are we?
Thank you for the super chat. It's calling to Grid.
Blue Moon says, can we all agree Arteta and Edu are clueless? Completely a banter club. On a promising note, when will you be doing the big six show in Manny? Listen, we're still building. We've just launched the channel. So that's going to get going. And slowly but surely, listen, Steve suggested a long time ago we do live shows in different cities. Slowly but surely, all of these things will come into place. Literally, it's just us six. Obviously, Matisse and Scarfug, we're working, you know, amongst ourselves to get this done. So sit tight. It's coming. John says they did sign Austin Trusty. Trust the process. Yeah. Rohit says the owners are always to blame and I want them out. But in this window, if there was genuine interest in Vlahovic, Isak, Gomarez, then that means the money was there. So Arteta and Edu are also at fault. I think Gomarez will tell you that It's on Kroenke, it's on Arteta and Edu too. But if you can't beat Newcastle to Gomarez, regardless of who they got as ownership right now in a relegation battle, I have to look at more than just Arteta and Edu. Aslan says, it seems clear to me what's happening at Arsenal. Stan must have ordered the club's wage bill to be reduced immediately. Explains Oba's treatment too. If that's the case, then why would you give him the contract a couple of years ago? Do you get what I'm saying? Why would you spend 150 million in the summer if all of a sudden, 6 months later, we need to reduce the wage bill? I don't know, my guy. I'm not saying I know, but I'm asking the questions to try and make it make sense, and it just doesn't. Missing says, man sitting here drinking Baileys with ice and talking with chest. For what reason?
Thank you for the super chat, but when did I talk with chest? What did I say that was arrogant today?
You probably said something, man. You normally do.
No, I didn't. I said that we didn't do enough in the window, and I said that Arsenal are incompetent for getting rid of Lacazette and not bringing a striker in. Where's the arrogance?
I don't know, mate.
Just say you said it, man.
I've tuned off at times. Zion says Stan was at the NFC Championship game last night. He don't care. NFL, you mean? Is it NFC? What was it? I don't know what it was.
NFL.
NFL Championship game last night. He don't care about Arsenal. Big up to my bro, Dammy. Where's the signings at Chelsea? No left back still. Anyway, big up to you all. Keep killing it. We will touch in on Chelsea. Not that there's much to touch in on, but we'll get to it all. Turks, you missed my super chat, bro. I didn't, right? Hold on, my guy. Love for the love as always, but I've got them saved now. Arsenal are the banter club again. Yeah. I don't think we ever left that. I think another team joined it. But yeah, did you guys see the new... That's another thing. Newcastle bantering us. Don't be pissing me off near the end of the stream, please, people, man. I don't know. I saved this one because I was so angry at it. I'm not saying this window is learning. Yeah, forget about it. Does Salah become Ballon d'Or favourite if he wins AFCON? Not in January, my guy. I don't know how you can be favourite for the Ballon d'Or in 1 month. It's all mad. And Missing says, the only way we get top four is Martinelli at number nine, Emil Smith Rowe, Odegaard, Saka behind. It can work, but all this risk wasn't worthy of taking. But if this manager does get top four with this thin squad, there's not one guy here expected in the first place. Come outside. Well, we'll have to talk at the end of the season for that one, my guy. I can't lie. It's way too early for that. And I don't hold the same hopes as you that we can make top four. Arsenal fans are accountants, the only club whose fans know player wages and what their club would be to say. Yes, Blue Moon, we are, because at the end of the day, we've been lied to for so many years about finances that Arsenal fans have had, including myself, have had to delve into it a bit more and understand where these lies have originated from, how they've come about, why they're about, and try to make sense of it all. It's very difficult to do, but I get what you're saying about the accountants thing. If Turkish held himself to the same standard he holds Arsenal to, there would be a Big Six channel by now. What? If Turkish held himself to the same standard he holds Arsenal to, there would be a Big Six channel by now. There is a Big Six channel, my guy. Am I reading this wrong, or am I going mad?
Nah, he's waffling, man.
He's chatting.
Well, your point's out the window, my guy, because the Big Six channel is in the description. All of you guys go subscribe now. It launched the other day, so love for that chance to plug. Saeed, chill out, my guy. We're in the mod with Arsenal too. Thank you for the honesty. United fans, feel your pain too, Turkish, my guy. I know
it makes you feel better. Then all right, cool.
I know Saeed feels it a lot too, but you know,
I like that.
Big up everyone in the chat still. Listen, I don't know what more to say about Arsenal. Like I said, I'm on AFTV after this. If you want to ask me some more questions, please head over there and ask me. But it is what it is. The transfer window's closing. Arsenal are done out. The season's done. It is what it is. Let's just hope I come off the bottom of the prediction league. Someone asked about Chelsea. someone asked about Chelsea. So you might as well just touch in on it before we go to
Steve. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Gonna get the thing demonetized and everything. No. That's on you, my guy. I'm calling you after the stream. Go on, Dams.
Nah, there's nothing to talk about, bro. I don't. Matisse does this to me all the time, man. He throws me under the bus whenever things go left. But nah, there's nothing. There's nothing to talk about, man. We're talking about left wing backs. Chelsea signed this 18-year-old dude for the academy. We're apparently signing another 18-year-old dude for the academy again. People were looking at Musa. I mean, Dembele, they're looking at Ousmane Dembele news. They were trying to get gassed about it. But listen, it was never going to come, man. It was never going to happen. So there's nothing to talk about regards to Chelsea, man. I was just enjoying you getting meltdown with Arsenal, to be honest. I can't lie. Like, I think we should move back to that one still or something. But at the end of the day, like, there's nothing happening at Chelsea right now. It's been poor. It's just been poor. Once again, I keep telling people that this club, they're going to look at what Tuchel is doing. He's done a really good job, in my opinion. But they're not going to support him in January. I'm going to wait till the summer and see what's happening. Like I said to people, Marina probably saw Malang Sarr against Tottenham and all his City and said, you know what? We don't need a left wing back. But hey, I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to keep on watching. And yeah, nothing is happening, man. Absolutely nothing is happening. Nothing is going on, bro. It's dead. 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 Dead.
Brothers.
Talk about. Yes, Chris.
I have to check now.
No save worries, Chris.
Yes, yeah, because I've got a show. So obviously, everyone, make sure you finish this show and then come over to GrizzCon TV for some updates on Wagwan.
And all that. We don't care about Liverpool. So.
Yeah,
you better keep your reputation intact on Twitter, Grizz. The other day, I tweeted out, just calling out journalists and in the nose and that. At least 2-3 people wrote underneath, are you sending for Grizz? And I'm just like, I don't think you're talking about Liverpool, man. I think I'm talking about Liverpool.
I've got you, brother. I ain't ever letting you down, brother. We out.
Love.
Do you know what the best bit was, though? You know what the best bit was? We was at the Big Six Live, all sat there the other day, and Grizz, we was having some food, and Grizz went, yeah, my guy just rang me. Liverpool ain't doing any business in this transfer window. So he said, yeah, is that right, Grizz? He went, yeah, my guy's told me. Now happening. Shut. Yeah. 5 hours later, it all blew up. So he's talking pure shit, man.
You remember when Grizz said to Steve, what signing was it, Steve? Oh, it was Ronaldo. He goes, Steve. Steve was like, great, that's it. He's not signing for us.
And the Mbappe one, and the Sancho one. I want to give him his plaudits tonight.
Do you know the newspaper, the Sunday Sport, that comes out with absolute pure bullshit? I think Grizz writes that. You know what I mean? Like, the mad stories in the back of it. I think it's Grizz.
Yeah, Steve, I was going to ask you about Alvarez, but you did already mention him last week, I believe, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the deal's got over the line. It's turned out it's quite a cheap deal, 14 million, couple of add-ons. I think there's been a good relationship with River Plate there, so that's what's got it over the line. Looking at him, like you say, from the outside in, he looks a good prospect. Obviously, they've done their own work on him. They're going to keep him at River till at least July, maybe till December. But a few journalists was questioning him today, saying, is it a City Football Group signing? So basically, will he be passed around the group? And their chairman said, no, he's a Man City first team signing. Pep Guardiola's promised him that he's going to come to the first team squad. So for that kind of money, it could turn out to be an absolute bargain. I mean, our last South American from them ends wasn't that bad. So, and City shipped a lot of young kids off today. A lot of the kids who've been at the club for a while, who are never going to break into the first team, they've been given free transfers with buyback clauses and 25% sell on clauses and stuff, which makes sense. And I just think, you know, Man City, unless there's something outstanding pops up, I don't think we're going to dip our toe in the market, you know what I mean? I think it's all geared up for summer, for a big name, with Aguero going, Ferran going. I just think it leaves a massive gap up top, and I think we all know who I think we should go for, but we never know. But this signing of Alvarez, the City fans are excited, the younger City fans are excited, and yeah, you know, it's one of them things with City now, the machines well oiled, it's just every now and then you've got to tweak it. So I don't think anything's going to happen with us.
Yeah, and I can't lie to you, I look over there with envy, man. You don't have to do much, but what you do, it makes sense and it's smart. Like,
they signed a young kid from Hungary as well. He's going into the football group. And then we signed a couple of Serbian lads, the Ilic brothers. We sold one of them to Verona for about 12 million, I think. And then the other one, he was on loan, but we've actually sold him to one of our other teams. So the passing players around now into the football group to sort of, you know, spreading them out a little bit. Luke Bolton's gone to Salford on a free. He's been there 10 years, but he's never really done it. So he'll have a sell on. We've loaned a couple of lads out. And then that James McAtee, he's turned down Rangers and a few other loans, and they reckon he's going to sign a 6-year contract. So it's all a little bit of shifting, making room underneath the first team, under 23 level, I think. So I think you're going to get a fresh back to youngsters coming in this year.
I think Turkish is on ahead with your squad, man. It's honestly what I'd give to have a squad where, like, you only just need to add a couple pieces here and there. That's what you call proper planning. Like, City have depth for days, succession planning for days. Like, this Alvarez guy will probably be speaking in 2 years' time saying, wow, this guy's come to the Premier League and he's lighting it up as well. I think he got voted like South American Player of the Year or something like that.
Yeah, he did. To be honest, though, Tolbert, this was never the case. When they first took over City, Khaldun did say that at the beginning, it's going to be a case of trying to get it right. And then, and they did break it down and say the plan was to get to a point where A, they're self-sustainable as a club, and B, they'll only ever make one signing a season or two to tweak it, and then everything will come within the group. And I think the way they've structured the City Football Group now with all these players, like you say, I was saying to you last season, they signed a player, Diego Rosa from Gremio, 12 million. Some City fans didn't even know we signed him. He's gone on loan to Lommel. Do you know what I mean? These players, we just sold Patrick Roberts. Who, you remember Patrick Roberts with paid?
Yeah.
We just sold him to Sunderland. He'd been there years. So there's a lot of money coming in from kids and that. And I just think, like Kai Kai, we also, when we signed
mention him, Kai, what's the plan with him?
He's here now. So he played in the cup game.
Yeah, he played against United as well. Tore us apart.
Played against United, scored two goals in the under-23s. Yeah. But we've also signed Matinho, same time. Matinho's gone to Troyes. The French team that we own. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We signed a kid from Juventus, that Pablo Marino, the striker. We swapped him for another Portuguese striker. He's out at Girona. So there's loads of options in the group. It's a mad model how they're doing it. Pretty similar to the Red Bull model, but obviously we've gone a bit larger. And I just think that's the future of football. I think you're going to end up buying kids and just putting them within your group and hoping that you can nurture them yourself. Save your money. Look at Cole Palmer. How much Cole Palmer's saved us. McAtee. Do you know what I mean? How much he's going to save us. And obviously, this Alvarez kid for 14 million. It's just mad, isn't it? It's crazy, crazy money, but I'm not moaning.
Yeah, like you said, we're a well-oiled machine. And I think that rounds up City in a good way.
Thanks.
Saeed, United?
Yeah, man, nothing on our side.
This one should be fun.
Why should it be fun?
Because your squad's looking kind of short right now, don't you think?
Yeah, it's looking short, man. You know what I mean? That super squad I was talking about, mate, it's not there right now. That super squad, mate, I'm telling you. Yeah, man, we haven't bought anyone, innit? You know what I'm saying? What more can I say?
Yeah, I think...
I said I haven't bought anyone. Oh, my Lord.
It's going to be interesting, though. How are you going to rotate? Because, well, a couple of players are going to need to step up. Rashford is going to need to improve his form. Sancho is going to need to come to the party, but I'm looking at your team now and where, obviously, what's happened with Greenwood's happened with Greenwood, and Martial's been loaned out. So then you basically have two, like 34 and above players in Ronaldo and Cavani. Cavani is injury prone.
Matt's still alive.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He might be playing.
But this is the point I'm making. Cavani's injury prone. Rashford and Green and Sancho still need to click into gear. Elanga, he's got the enthusiasm and work rate, but I don't think he's got the technical quality. And then you've loaned out Ahmad. I'm not gonna lie, like I was worried about your squad depth, and I still am to a certain. I still am to a certain extent, but Man United definitely look a little bit more vulnerable. And let's not forget, you've not actually been playing well. So the one thing that you've had to rely upon is your quality and depth that can just bail you out of game. Yeah. So it's
a sticky one, man. Nah, you're right, man. Everything you said there is spot on. It's a sticky situation right now. Obviously, Ronaldo, he'll demand and he'll want to play every single game, but at his age, everyone knows it's not possible to do that. Cavani's injury prone, hasn't been himself this season. Obviously, Ilanga's still learning. You know, I mean, too much pressure on him. You know, Rashford, you know, hasn't been great. And also, the last 2 years, he's been playing with injuries. So, you know, do you want to further kind of hamper him with that responsibility? Then you've got Sancho, who hasn't clicked in. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of pressure there. And then you've got Juan Mata, who's resurrected his career now. You know what I mean? Because he, you know, obviously, the Greenwood situation. That's obviously, you know what I mean, something that has happened. So, yeah, man, it is. I'm surprised United haven't gone for a player at least, you know what I mean? I for me personally, was looking at that Dembele thing, and I know he's injury prone, but to maybe take a chance with a loan would not have hurt anyone. But the problem is for me, though, and again, this is where I feel sorry for Ralf Rangnick. You know, he's come into a very, very shitty situation where a lot of these players have been given broken promises. You know, you're looking at Lingard, should have been told to ship. You know, Martial, you know what I mean? Again, broken promises. Van de Beek, you know, people can say what they want about them, but it's about replacing them. Similar to Arsenal,
And that's why I didn't really kind of, you know, I was putting the question out there more so, is that, you know, you can sell these players, you can put them out alone, that's fine. But you've got to be able to let the manager have some sort of replacement. And, you know, Pogba is still injured. He won't be back till apparently February. You know, so we've already got what? Bruno as a 10. Then you've got Mata and, sorry, McTominay, Fred, and then Matty, who, you know, doesn't play all the time. So it is a sticky situation. But for me, make no sense. I mean, United still need to make top four. I mean, and for me personally, yes, it's a worrying situation, but United have to make top four. This won't be an excuse for me because we've got enough quality to be top four. When you look at Arsenal, no spending. Tottenham, I'm not being funny, Tottenham, but I'm not scared of Tottenham. You know what I mean? So Chelsea, obviously, that one there, it depends if Chelsea fall off, but United should be making that top four. And any fan that's worried that we won't, then listen, that's down to you. But for me, I have a firm belief that United should be making top four, minimum. Absolute minimum. But again, it doesn't help when you've got this situation of Ralph Ragnick, you know, he has to do the job, but again, it's not helping him. And that's just the bottom reality.
Yeah, for God's sake, let me just address this because it's rattled in me. I can't lie, man. This day is just so long. My guy, man said you're criticizing without knowing any facts. Is it a fact that Eddie Nketiah has got in his last 4 months of his deal? Is that a fact or not? Is it a fact that Lacazette is in the same situation? Is that a fact or not? Is it a fact that we've let Oba go without signing another striker? Damn. Is that not a fact? What are you talking about? Pew, pew, pew. What are you talking about?
Facts. In the words of the super chat, facts from Turkish. It's a fact. It's a Rafa fact, in fact.
I reckon he was spamming that. Was he spamming that or something?
Bro, it didn't look like it. He's articulate.
He wasn't spamming. He's an apologist. I don't get it. He's an apologist. I saw some of your fans on Twitter today saying that they were praising the board for shifting all the deadwood off your wage books. You're going to save X number of millions in wages.
It's peak, yeah, man. That's what, you know, whenever people drag Arsenal as a club, people always forget to drag the fan base as well, because the number of tapped individuals that are actually within, I'm not even trying to send for the Arsenal fan base as a whole, but like, if you actually sit down there, look at where your club was about 10, 15, 20 years ago, all right, and analyze the whole situation, like, you lot are now discussing where I'm saving money. Are you lot going shopping with your mom to Aldi? What's going on in here, fam? I thought you lot are trying to be going for the bigger titles than that, and you're talking about saving P. Now, if I was Turkish as well, I'd be fuming, fam. I can't lie. I'd be fuming, man. This is, it's peak. Saving money. 29 M's. When you qualify for the Champions League, how much money is that? So it's 70 million. And you're talking about... Nah, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. The same man that talk about, oh, we're saving money now, the same man that will say, oh, we spent 150 million in the summer. What one is it? Do you want the club to spend and continue, or do you want the club to save money?
I don't get it. Mad. They're getting praised. Your fans...
Pushing P.
Your fans knew that you needed signings. Like, it was clear. Everyone's been saying that Arsenal are so close. The gap in top four is not insurmountable, and you're in the race. A couple signings could get you over the line. And now, all of a sudden, on deadline day, they're saying, oh, praise Arteta, praise Edu, praise the guys for getting rid of a lot of your squad players, getting rid of Aubameyang. They're basically getting praised for not signing anybody. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
And then when the new jerseys come out, I saw you, man, did some Game of Thrones, all white, new, whatever. And then Fabema behind the team, like, yeah, we're giving the club money for signings. And then when the money actually comes, listen, I can't lie. I've spoken about this Arsenal fan base with too many Arsenal fans before, man.
That's what I said, innit? That's what I said. Yeah,
it's peak. And when you say they're like, oh, you don't support Arsenal, oh, you're a gremlin. Toby, I blame you for that. But they'll be like, oh, this, that. And I'm just like,
No. Blame Steve. Blame Steve. You blame me.
That's Steve, man. You can't ever.
If they call you a virgin, blame me. If they call you a gremlin,
you need to get a shirt. Steve, you need to get him a shirt.
Gremlin. Steve, coming out soon. Gremlin t-shirts and jumpers are coming out soon.
In a cinema near you.
Let's look at some super chats because I don't know. Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know how we got back to Arsenal. It was my fucking fault. A says, Liverpool have Salah, Mane, Naby, Diaz, Harvey, Maradona, Thiago back. Champions League and Premier League trophy. Here we come. By the way, Grizz, much love to you, bro. I believe your source is now. Callum says, shit show from Arsenal. I can see what we are building. But what frustrates me is the fact we never capitalise on opportunity. Exactly, Callum, that we get given. If we wanted Vlahovic for 70 mil, then there is money. JML says, 14 million for Alvarez will look like an absolute bargain in years to come. Trust me, he's some baller. And Scholl says, as a United fan, I don't know what's going on with this club anymore. No strategy, just money saving. The board threw Ralph under the bus. I think that with Ralph, I think he's been brought in to assess the current crop and then leave it to the next manager. That's my opinion, but at the same time,
top four's vital, he's been given a job to do and you need the tools to do it. You know what I mean? It kind of makes him look a bit of a muppet, really, at the end of the season.
Yeah, it can do. It can do. Well, it is what it is. The transfer window is over in 24 minutes. Arsenal have...
Will you actually get someone, Turkish? Do you think...
24 minutes, Saeed.
All right. Chill. Okay.
Saeed, you're watching.
Are you not getting Dembele?
According to Saeed.
Dembele, what's up with that, man?
We'll have to have words. I didn't even tag him.
Some Arsenal fans have become accountants, getting off to spreadsheets. It's embarrassing. What have we become? It's all mad. To be honest, we're an hour and a half. Just touched it. I'm going to say love to Dams for filling in for Matisse as usual, my guy. People, go support Dams. His channel is in the link below as usual. As well as Toby, Saeed, Steve, and Grizz. All channels are below, including the official channel. I've said it twice. I'll say it again. The official channel has launched. The first video, top five Premier League goalkeepers, has come out Saturday, midday. I brought it out, so a couple of days now. If you haven't, go over there and support the thing. If you have, then look out for centre-backs, which we'll be doing in the next few weeks, hopefully, which should be out by the end of February. So look out for that. And I know there's a gap between it, people, but give us time. We'll get it more consistent and we'll get it coming weekly and so on. Love for the love up until this day and love for the love moving forward too. On to the next one, people. We're back on... When are we back? Is it Thursday? Let me just double check quickly the schedule. Just so I can... Because I haven't even...
Oh, is he gone?
February... Thursday, the 3rd of February, FA Cup preview. Great. Arsenal ain't in that, so I can have an easy night. Look out for that, people. And yeah, and love for the love. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Safe.
Peace, people.